Matthew 26, verses 36 through 40. When there's no growth in the garden. We are people that perhaps have been trained, have been taught. We become accustomed to every time we hear the word garden, our mind perhaps instantly goes to beautiful places, pleasant thoughts, peaceful atmosphere. When we think of a garden, we always think of something that is growing, a beautiful setting. But I don't want to talk about that garden this morning. I want to talk about the other garden. The one that you keep planting, keep watering, but nothing is growing there. I'm talking about when you keep going back to the garden and you know that you're doing what God has called you to do, but you still see no results. When you keep praying for your spouse and he's still not coming to church. When you keep praying for your child and your child still is not coming home. I want to talk about the garden where there is no growth taking place. I want to know, what do you do? What do? When you're doing the very best, but you still see no results? What do you do when you're showing all the love that you can show, but people still reject you? What do you do when you go to work every day and you try to be a team player and the person in the cubicle next to you always tell lies on you? What do you do when you don't see any growth in your garden? I want you to focus on this one thing, and that is sometimes your view, what you see, sometimes what you see, your view, is not reality. Sometimes when you are in the midst of something, your eyes will begin to play tricks on you. What you see, your view, doesn't cancel out the vision that God placed you. See, when God gave you vision, that vision sometimes will take you through a garden. And as it begins to take you through the garden, and you plant your seed, don't expect to see a harvest on the same morning. It takes a while. God will always send us through a process. It is the process that character is developed. It is the process that faith is developed. It is the process that God teaches us how to be more like Him. And so God begins to take us through the process. And when God begins to take us through the process, what we immediately look to is to see the fruits from our seeds. There are some things that you prayed for a long time ago and you asked God for, and you still haven't received them. But that doesn't mean God still is not watering what you asked for. See, sometimes when you pray for something, you want God to come, and God is saying, but I can't come right now because I got to give you an opportunity to grow and to develop. And before you can go higher, He has to send you lower so you can catch root. If you don't have root, the first storm comes by and you go. If you don't have root, there's no commitment. And so before the tree goes up, the tree has to go down. The Bible declares you're like a tree that has been planted by the rivers. So in other words, the storms of life come, but you shall not be moved. You see, when people look at you and look at your situation, they look at the outside, they look at what they see. What they don't understand is that you got a hold of something that is underneath where you stand. You got a hold of something underneath, and what's underneath is called faith. Yes, it looks bad, but I'm holding on to faith. You may not see my faith, but my faith is going to deliver me. You may not understand why I'm still standing, but the reason that I'm still standing is because I'm holding on to somebody that's greater than any economy. may be going through. Jesus had been walking with the disciples almost 3.5 years. And one night he began to tell them of his death, burial, and resurrection. They had fellowship together, came together, communed together. And then Jesus began to tell them that one of you that is with me will betray me. You have to be careful about the people that is around you. Sometimes people can be around you, but their motives are wrong. Sometimes people can be around you, but they're only around you for what they can get. And when they can't get, they get gone. You got to be careful about the people that you allow to come into your life. And you have to be careful that the people that are in your life is praying with you, is praying for you. And it doesn't matter the hell that you go through. They say, I'm right there because I know where two or three is touching and agreeing together that God is in the midst. You got to go through something with some people that is really sincerely praying for you. And Jesus found out the hard way that he's been around some folk who really wasn't praying for him. So he finds himself, he says, let us go to the garden. Now, I find it interesting that Jesus would decide to go, or he would be led by God to go to the Garden of Gethsemane when he is going to go to the cross. But if you think about it, in the book of Genesis, in the garden is where mankind lost salvation. And so Jesus has to go back to the same garden so that man can recapture salvation. Where you are is where God wants you to be. What you say the heck went and you walked away from, I said that. God is saying go back and reclaim what you left right there. See, sometimes we'll just allow people to push us away, and God is saying your blessings is in the garden. But God, I didn't see anything in the garden. You didn't stay there long enough. Go back to your garden. You gotta go back and you gotta plot some more. You gotta go back and you gotta take a little bit more. You gotta go back and you gotta wait for God to show up in your garden. When you plant a seed, always expect a harvest. You gotta expect God. You gotta believe God to do what God said he would do. And so Jesus is now going through something. And the moment that he begins to go through something, he calls upon his disciples and say, can you just sit right here and just watch and pray with me? Can you just sit right here? And the truth of the matter is, when you're going through something, you shouldn't have to ask your friends to pray for you. The truth of the matter is, they should be saying, what do you want me to ask God? I've already been praying for you. What is it that you want me to ask God for? See, a true friend will see you through when other folks think that you are through. And so they all begin to count out Jesus and say, now he's not going to do anything, and they're going to hang him. And a true friend would step up and say, you know what? I don't know how you got here, but I'm a true friend and I'm going to be right here. A friend is hard to find. Isn't it an ugly thing?
Yes.
When you think that you're in friendship with someone, and at the end of it, you discover what they really was about. Isn't it something to think that you're in a friendship with somebody only to discover that there's motives that you couldn't see? But God will always give you the wisdom to see what you need to see. You see, sometimes what somebody's trying to do to you, God is saying, don't step back. No, I'm ordering your steps. No, don't you go right there, because God knows all the danger that is all around you. And so here's Jesus sitting, and he says to the disciples, can you just pray with me? Notice this. He began with 12. He chose 3 because the 3 was the inner circle. And so we call it our bosom buddy. Don't get no tighter than that. So you think. Even the 3 that Jesus chose, they went to sleep on it. And so he goes deeper. After leaving the 3, he goes deeper. He prays to God, comes back, and then they're sleeping. When he goes again and pray, he comes back, and they're still sleep again. He goes in the 3rd time praying, turns around, come back, and they're sleeping again. And he says to them, sleep on.
That's right.
life think that they're more important than they really are. Sometimes some folk in your life think they know what you need, but they sleeping on what you really need. See, sometimes in the midst of going through something, I only told you half of it. The other half God didn't allow me to tell. The other half I got to fast and pray so I can see that thing. You don't have to tell everything in order for God to do something in the midst of your... You just gotta trust it. The issue is, do you trust God? See, because the truth of the matter is, when the pressure is on, sometimes we reach for things that we really don't need. In the midst of the pressure, Jesus reached out to his disciples, but that's not what he really needed. In the midst of you going through something, you reaching for an alcohol bottle, you reaching for sex, you reaching for a cell phone. Baby, that ain't what you really need. What you need to do is reach beyond your life. When you reach beyond the grave, you discover God Almighty is right there. You discover he's able to see me through. Have you ever been down and out and you had to reach out for Jesus? Won't he take you by your hand? Won't he guide you? Won't he lead you? Have you ever tried God? I mean, really going through something and you had to try God. God is a God that not only is able, but he's willing. A lot of folk able to do something, but I don't know if you're willing to do it. In the midst of going through something, I love the Lord. Because God says, baby, I can do it, and I want to do it for you. So in the midst of you going through something, Jesus says, just reach out. See, you went to sleep on me, but you weren't sleeping on me. Because in the midst of you sleeping, the God that I serve, he never sleeps, he never slumbers. He was right there. Couldn't talk to my best friend, but God was right there. In the midst of a garden sometimes, when things get really dry, you need to know that God is still there. But nobody else will come to my rescue. God is still there. Have you ever called upon the Lord? Wasn't he right there for you? When you stood on the grave of a loved one, wasn't he right there? He's the God of your tight places. He's the God of your diabetes. He's the God of your cancer. He's the God of your rejection. Have you ever tried the Lord? I mean, really tried. When you really try, you understand he's real good. He's good in the morning. He's good at noonday. He's good at night. All you gotta do is just call him. Somebody said Jesus is on the main line. Call him up. Tell him what you want. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. If you need your soul saved, tell him what you want. If you need grace, tell him what you want. If you need healing, tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. He's just waiting on you to call him up. Watch this. Sometimes, in the midst of your drought, in the midst of your garden, God will allow drought to remove your doubt. When you're looking and you say, ain't nothing growing, God is saying, your faith is increasing. Because if I move right now, you really don't have to trust me. So sometimes God will leave you in the garden where ain't nothing growing, and you still out there trying to plot something, and everybody laughing at you and saying, ain't nothing under there. But you understand, no, baby, I planted a seed of faith. Something's shaking underneath this ground. Something's going to come up. I know what I deposited into the kingdom of God. I'm just going to wait, and I'm going to wait on the Lord. I know that he's going to show up in the nick of time. God will sometimes allow your drought to remove your doubt. You see, God sometimes will leave the thing just as it is. Look ugly. Look like ain't nothing going to happen. And here you are still talking about, I trust in the Lord. And everybody looking at you and say, I wouldn't trust in the Lord that didn't move. And you saying to yourself, I know God is going to make a way. I don't know where. I know God is moving. I may not be able to see it, but I know he's moving. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see my blessings, but I know they're kicking around under there somewhere. I can't see what God is doing, but I know something is going on underneath. That's why every now and then in church, you ought to stand on your feet. Every now and then in church, you ought to dance on the dip. Every now and then in church, you ought to begin to walk on your feet. do when there's no growth in your garden? What do you do when you've done the very best that you can do and you still see nothing? What do you do? What do you do? I know it's good ground. I know it's a good garden. And I've been planting and I've been sowing, but I see absolutely nothing. How long, God, must I wait? How long must I go through what I'm going through?
Yes, Lord.
And then suddenly, God speaks to you and He says, there's no growth in your garden, but my grace is sufficient.
Say that!
My grace is sufficient. I may not change your view of things, but my grace is sufficient. I may not make something pop up tomorrow, but my grace is sufficient. You gotta know I'm gonna keep you, I'm gonna hold you, and nothing that's gonna come against you gonna take you, because my grace is sufficient. You may not have what somebody else have, but His grace is sufficient for you. You may not have the job that somebody else have and the paycheck that somebody else have, but His grace is sufficient for me. I'm not worried about what's going on in your house. He keep on making a way for me. Morning, we want to extend that invitation to someone.